Live from the Average Joe Nation studios in St. Clair, Missouri, this is the Average Joe Podcast, a show that proves that in this crazy world, a combination of common sense and a C-plus average is actually a superpower. Sure, he's crazy, but what if he's right? Please welcome your host, Damon Gilbert.
All right, here we are. I'm in the middle of nowhere in Florida, Central Florida. So I'm coming at you through from the car. I hadn't done a podcast in a couple of weeks. I had a couple of things happen that changed my course, quite a bit. My son broke his hip. He's 37 years old. Tripped and fell on concrete. Ended up in the hospital. Had an operation. He's doing much better, but I kind of threw the weeks off. It really did. And I'll be honest with you, there are some days when I'd just rather not talk to anyone. I'm sure you've had those as well. So when I say that I took some time off, it was warranted. It really was. So right now I'm in the car. I hope my sound is fairly decent. It's a very nice vehicle. I'm driving back from Florida for a friend of mine. And I actually went during the eclipse. Okay. I flew on a plane. Well, it wasn't actually the eclipse, but it was the same day. I landed just prior to it taking place. I was in Florida, so I wasn't in what do they call it? The main area. There's a word for it. I can't remember what it was. I just read it this morning. But nonetheless, the eclipse was going to go across Arkansas, most of Missouri, central part of Illinois, into Indiana, whatever. All I can tell you is the predictions were dire. Dire. We had a 4.8 earthquake in New Jersey, hence the 4.8 April 8th of the eclipse. Everybody goes batshit. Everybody goes batshit. Oh my God, it's the end of time. It's the end of the world. I tell you, folks, I gotta be honest with you. I believe we live in a idiot-based society. I really do. I really do. People, and present company excluded, people are listening to this right now. I'm not counting you. But I gotta tell you, it seems to me that we, as a society, are some of the dumbest people. We are Neanderthals, and don't let anybody kid you. It's Neanderthal, not Neanderthal. Okay, let's make sure we got that straight. Neanderthal. We are Neanderthals with iPhones. That's it. We've been dumbed down to a level that's, I guess, herdable. You know what I mean? We can be herded in groups. We can be made to believe just about anything. Really is something to behold. It really is. Never seen anything quite like this. You've got grown adults driving hundreds, possibly thousands of miles to see an event that has happened many, many times. I mean, tonight when I get to my hotel on my way back, I will be able to turn on the TV, and I guarantee you there will be video of this event taking place. Why do I care? Why do I care? I don't understand the significance of this. This has happened before. We had one of these in Missouri, 6-7 years ago? I don't understand what the big deal is. Maybe someone can fill me in on this. Is it religious? Is it a cult? Does the possibility exist that we need a distraction right now? Is that what it is? I mean, the world's turned into shit, as a matter of fact. Nothing's going correctly. We're being bamboozled by an old man in the White House and his ilk, his kin. his partnership that he's made with the devil. That's what's going on right now. So did we need a distraction? You got to hand it to the mass media. You really do. When you've got grown adults believing that the end of the world is near, I remember this during let's go back, probably Y2K, if you're, depending on how old you are. Y2K, now, if you're not familiar with that, that was a particular time in history where we were transitioning from the 20th century to the 21st century, and the computer code was written with only two digits for the year. So at the end of, you know, when it was 1999, they were going to switch over to what was going to happen. Was it going to be 00? Was it going to throw everything off? Were satellites going to fall out of the sky? Was the grid going to go down? I mean, cats and, you know, dogs and cats living together. Oh my, you know, lions and tigers and bears. Was that what was, that was a big one. That was a big one. I cannot tell you. I worked at UPS at that particular time. I cannot tell you how many, I guess, survival products I delivered in that period of time. Granted, we weren't as sophisticated as we are today. And I say that tongue in cheek because we have the tools available. We just don't use them. But the point is that, well, you know, you had to be a little naive to buy that. I remember having, you know, conversations with people over and over again saying there's nothing going to change. Just because a computer does not have the correct data in it, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's the end of the world. Do you really think that the rabbits and the squirrels and everybody in nature, that they're going to what? Drop over dead because a computer is missing two digits? It was ridiculous. And of course, it passed and nothing really happened. I mean, we were talking about a total collapse of society, the way they talked. Same thing with this. 7 years ago, heard the very same thing. It's the end of time. How about the Mayan calendar that ran out? Was it 2012 or 2016? I can't remember which. But the Mayan calendar, it ends in 2012, let's say. So that means that that's the end of the world? No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean diddly. So I just got to tell you, from a standpoint of, I guess, common sense, we are shown lacking. We really are. Look, I didn't even watch a stupid thing. I don't care. I really don't. If you cared, that's fine. If you're into astronomical stuff and science and all, that's fine. I got no problem with it. Study it all you want. So it's like the James Hubble or James Webb telescope. I mean, Is it life altering? No. You know, they're finding out that the Big Bang Theory may be a bunch of crap, and that's not true. Does that change my life? Not even a little bit. I really don't care. But if I'm into that, and that is my thing, I understand it fully. But don't use that as a basis for, fear-mongering. Because I think that's what this is. I think we get tested on a daily basis. We really do. We get tested. We are they've run things by us to see what the masses will do. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So, having said that, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Baltimore, and I know I had not talked about this because it happened after my little hiatus, and I did want to talk about this. The Baltimore bridge that fell after it was struck by the Dolly, I believe it was, the container ship. Now, a lot of people have asked me what I think about that. I uh, I didn't know anything about shipping as far as the seafaring. I know a lot about trucking, that kind of thing, logistics on land, but I didn't know a whole lot about shipping by sea. Didn't really know anything about that. So, because I didn't know anything about it, and I have all these tools at my discretion, I started doing a little research on this just to find out how this all works. And it is fascinating. It really is. If you had any idea, and I don't know if you get a chance to do this or not, but go online and find out how much larger container ships are today as they compared to how large they were in the 1970s. You won't believe it. These things are behemoths. Oh my God. You're talking about something that's twice as big as a football field, weighing hundreds, thousands of tons. It's amazing. Metric tons. I mean, that's even more. It is more than you can imagine. It really is. These things are massive. So when they go off course, this isn't like you're, having a Nerf ball thrown at you and you block it. This is a big deal. When a ship like this goes off course and hits something, it continues to hit it until momentum is stopped. And when you've got something that large going 6 or 7 knots and it hits something, it's going to do some major damage. And what happened? What happened here? We've heard it I've heard it more than once. Believe me, I've heard it hundreds of times at this point about what went on. The ship lost power. The ship lost power, and it basically steered its way right into that structure that brought down the Francis Scott Key Bridge. It knocked the whole thing down. It knocked the whole thing down. Now, if you've seen it, first of all, I'd like to know who was taking the video. And I know some of them are stationary cameras. I understand that. I'm not a total idiot. I've had this discussion with people on Twitter. And by the way, Twitter, I don't care who owns it, Elon Musk or God himself. There are some assholes on that platform. I mean assholes, king size, gargantuan assholes on there. They say things that they would never say to another person to their face. They wouldn't. Snarky, just sharp, acting like you're just a complete idiot. And not to me per se, but I just see the comments. People ask a legitimate question. Who was shooting this film? Who took this video? And then you'll hear people go, well, you're an idiot because there's stationary cameras everywhere. No. I saw one of the videos where the camera was actually panning, and panning, what I mean is it was following the ship, and it was zooming in. Explain that one to me. Somebody was in charge of that. We had two different angles of this, at least two. I think it was actually 3 or 4 different angles of this collision. That's pretty impressive for 1 o'clock in the morning. On the Chesapeake Bay, I got to hand it to him. Did you know this was coming? Did you know something was going to happen? Were you told it was going to happen? I don't know. It's weird. Now, does that mean that there was something nefarious going on? At first, I didn't think so. At first, I'll be perfectly honest with you, I didn't think so. I thought. This looks like just an accident, maybe. The first couple of days, that's where I stood. I was like, this looks like this could be, maybe something went wrong. Maybe it did. Maybe there was some kind of a power failure, that kind of thing. Then I started looking into this a little bit more, talking to people, or not talking, But listening to people on YouTube and hang on just a second. On YouTube, Twitter, Rumble, I started doing a little research online. Listening to people who have been in this business for decades. People that know the difference between port and starboard, you know, that have done this, have been out on the high seas. There was one that was a marine, a merchant marine, been in the business for years. There was a guy that's a tugboat operator. Because one of the first questions I asked is, why weren't there tugboats leading this guy out to open waters? What's the deal with that? Why wouldn't you have tugboats? I mean, if it's a narrow strait, and it is, by the way, because of the size of these boats anymore, and the tonnage, they can only be in certain channels of the body of water, because they, and I'm not going to use the marine terms, because first of all, I can't remember them, but I mean, it's jargon basically. Anyway, in order for this thing to float, it has to be in so much water. Otherwise it doesn't work. You can't go anywhere. Some of these things need at least 35 to 40 feet to float. So there's a very narrow channel in there that they have to go through. And there's not much room for error. So why wouldn't you have tugboats pushing these guys out to the main channel under that bridge? And also, why wasn't the bridge protected better? Why was that? Now, I did learn a new term. It's called a dolphin. And dolphins are pieces. They're actually structures of concrete that most of the time are around vulnerable bridge pieces, you know, that keep it up in the air. I mean, you knock this over, you hit this too hard, it's going to fall down. So we're going to have to protect it. So what you do is, in the water itself, you put these dolphins out there that are made of concrete that they don't stop the ship, but they can divert it. In other words, it's going to tear the crap out of the boat, but the boat's not going to have the opportunity to knock the bridge down. I think that's a great idea. And there are these dolphins all over the country on all kinds of bridges, all kinds of strands. You see them. I've seen pictures of them. They're protected. This one, not so much. I find that odd. Why did we do that? Why did we not spend the money on it? Well, I'll tell you for one reason for sure. And that is the fact that infrastructure, when it comes to politics and the government, infrastructure is not sexy. Okay? And what I mean by sexy is they cannot brag about it. They cannot, a politician cannot go back to his people and say, hey, I reelect me, I got a highway resurfaced. They don't care about that. Voters don't give a rat's ass about that. They don't think that's sexy. Now, if you're responsible for building a new football stadium for your losing team in a state, oh my God, you're worshipped like a god. It's so wonderful because that's sexy. Infrastructure, not so much. So, my guess. And again, I'm just going on guessing here. My guess is, and I don't know if you saw the mayor of Baltimore, but at that news conference the night of this accident, if you ever get a chance, just go see this guy. His last name's Scott, a black guy. I mean, he looks like he literally looks like he's in high school. He got all dressed up for the press conference, too. He had a jacket on and a hat on backwards. I mean, it was ridiculous. And they wonder why they got problems in Baltimore, who, by the way, is heavily in debt. Heavily in debt, I think. And so back to my first question, why didn't you have tugs pushing these things out. I believe the Port Authority and Baltimore as a whole said, you know what? Excuse me. We can't afford this anymore. Those tugboats are costing us a fortune. They're taxing these things out in the open water. Excuse me. They're taxing these things out in the open water. It's costing us a fortune. Let's stop that. We'll turn them loose, point them in the right direction, and hope for the best. I think that's what happened. Now, my main concern here is, and one of the things that came up almost immediately, if you recall, was the question of whether or not it was a cyber attack. Was the boat hacked? Is that what happened? Because they lost power. Now, when I say they lost power, I go back to my research and who I was watching and listening to. These guys that are in the business said that that boat should not have lost power. And he explained why. He had a schematic in front on the screen. He had a schematic of a typical container ship. Now, this container ship that he was showing, and he said it's a lot like the dolly. He says their electricity for the boat is actually generated by one of three generators that are separate from the engine. The engine itself drives the propeller. Okay? But they actually have these three generators, redundancy, to power the ship. Now, when you're not going real fast, they said, but I think it was below 8 knots. Typically, the generators are producing the power for the rest of the ship. Now, the lights, the navigation, all that stuff. It's actually being produced by those generators. Now, if you get up to about 20 knots, they can switch it over and make the propeller, the main engine drive the produce the power for the rest of the ship. Depends on the speed of the ship. Well, in this case, they were doing about 5 knots. So logic would tell you that the generators were the ones producing the electricity for the rest of the ship. Now, how do three generators go off at the same time? Go offline. And that happened twice. Once before the video actually, before the ship actually came into the video where it was being recorded, and then once right after, just prior to it slamming into the bridge. Now, my question is this. Is that possible? Is it possible that that was hacked? Is it possible? Now, I've seen both answers. I've seen people say, no, that's impossible to do because a ship actually has no connection to the outside world via the internet, that you couldn't get in there. And to that I say, well, then how did the CIA get into the centrifuges in Iran and blow them up? There was no outside connection to the internet either. So I put that theory aside. Obviously, you can, from what I understand and what I've learned, you can definitely hack into a ship. You can't. They say it's they've gotten so sophisticated, hackers have, that they can actually go into the system through a two-way radio. Okay, like a CB. They can actually find a way into the system using that. I read the other day that, when you plug your phone in at an airport and one of their, I was there today, the outlets that are in the seats that you're sitting in, They say you can. They can actually hack into your phone through that. Something to think about next time you're at an airport. So, and here's the other thing that killed me, that made me the most suspicious, and that was the federal government, the FBI, the Port Authority, the police in Baltimore, the mayor, the governor, all came out within a few hours of this incident claiming that it was not a cyber attack. Nothing nefarious here. No terrorist attack. Now, my question is this. How did they know that? How could you possibly, within less than, a half a day, and with no investigation, that you immediately know that it's not terrorist? It's not terrorists. I find that odd. I find it odd that you would even come out and say that at that point. There's been no investigation. Then why have the NTSB in there? Why bother? If you already know it's not, I guess we'll find out at some point what caused it. I don't think we will, because the NTSB is not set up to detect cyber attacks. I think you'd be better off bringing in somebody from the FBI that's got some skills in that area. Because a cyber attack's pretty easy to hide. It really is, unless you know what you're looking for. I believe, and from what I've heard, I believe that the people in the intelligence community know this was a hack. They know they got in there and did this. Because if you'll notice, when you watch the film or the video, you'll notice that that ship makes a right-hand turn and runs directly into that pylon. It's like it's steered into it. But nothing to see here. Don't worry about it. Most people have already forgotten about it. You know that ship's still there? That ship is still there. They're just now starting to cut it up. Not cut the ship up, but the bridge. It's gonna be years. It'll probably be, I'd say the end of May before they get that ship out of there, because they can't drag it out. They can't drag it out because there's a major gas line, they believe, that's right underneath this bridge, and if they drag it out and it makes a furrow in the sea floor, they're afraid they'll cut that gas line. So it's going to be there a while, but it's taken off the front page immediately. It's actually put the supply chain in jeopardy on the Northeast. In the Northeast, there are ships in there that are going to be stuck in that harbor for months. And there are ships that were waiting out the outside of the Chesapeake Bay. They're going to have to be diverted to other ports. It's a mess. And no one seems to care. They really don't. I saw the NTSB walking around. No offense, but these guys are taking pictures with their phones of the wreck. Maybe that's okay. I don't know. It just seems kind of amateurish. You know what I mean? It seems like it's kind of an amateur night. Why wouldn't you be taking pictures with something, that detects infrared or maybe detects heat? Because, you have no idea. There was hazardous material on this ship. I find that amazing that no one really is taking this too seriously. Now, least of all, the mainstream media. And why would Joe Biden tell the world that the federal government's going to pay for this? Why would he do that? He has no idea who's at fault here. I'm sure the boat had insurance. So we're not going to go after them. We're just going to let them go. And the federal government's going to pick up the tab. This whole thing stinks. It really does. It stinks to high heaven. It doesn't make any sense. Not that anything in America today makes any sense. I grant you that. But this is a strange one. This is a strange one. And then we have 2 minutes. Now, mind you, they got the black box, the supposed black box, off the ship. Either that or downloaded the information off it. I'm not sure exactly how that worked. But it has a black box on it, similar to that of an airliner, okay? I don't think it's quite as extensive as far as what it provides, but it can give you kind of a, from what these guys are telling me, the people in the biz, they're telling me that it'll give you a snapshot of what was going on. Okay, that sounds like a great idea. Maybe we can find out what caused this. Oh, we forgot to tell you that, you know, when the ship struck that, there's 2 minutes of information that's missing. 2 minutes, just blank, just went down, kind of like Epstein's, kind of like Jeffrey Epstein's video cameras in his prison cell went down at just the right time. Isn't that odd? So, to say that I'm a skeptic of this bullshit story they're trying to sell is, you know, you would be saying something. I mean, I can't even fathom this. And the NTSB came out the other day and said it could be 2 years before we find out what caused it. And on top of everything else, we're not going to have any news conferences again. No more news conferences from the NTSB. I find that unbelievable. I really do. And they want me to just say, oh, nothing to see here, folks. Don't worry about it. Nothing to see here. This, just go on. Go about your business. Go about your life. Everything's fine. It was just a simple mistake. No big deal here. Yeah. Right. Folks, this is the kind of thing. They're testing the waters. You understand what's going on here? There literally are people in the military who are trained by the federal government and the CIA and the, you know, the Department of Defense, to do this very thing, to do something exactly like what happened. They're trained to do this. But yet, I'm supposed to just believe this without any kind of skepticism whatsoever. No, they do not want you or I to put a questioning eye on this. They just want you to just go about your business, forget all about it. It's nothing you can do about it. True. There's nothing I can do about it. I'll grant you that. But if you're wanting me to just nod my head and obey, you're out of your mind. I'm not going to. This could be the start. I don't know who did it. Was it the Chinese? I don't think it was the Russians. Now people say, well, they did it at 1:30 in the morning. If you're wanting to kill a bunch of people, would it be better to do it at rush hour? Yeah, it would if that was your goal, is to kill people. I mean, screwing up the supply chain and the entire northeastern corridor, as far as goods coming and going, that's pretty big. That's pretty big. Well, what's one thing that in warfare that you want to do in order to win? What is one of the best things you do? Kill all the people on the other team. That's one way. The other way is to screw up their supply chain, so they can't be bring in reinforcements or be resupplied. That's what you want to do. Same thing when you got, say you're in a shootout in a military situation. What's the best way to bleed your opposition dry? It's not to kill everybody. It's to wound everybody. You kill a guy, you're just down one dude. You injure him, you take up the infrastructure and the supply chain of probably dozens of people trying to save that guy. That's what you want to do. Yeah, you don't want to kill him, just injure him. Yeah, it takes a toll. It does. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on it? If you got a thought, put it in the comments down below. I'd love to hear it because I'm not buying a word of this. I'm not buying a word of this, and it has nothing to do with the fact that Joe Biden's in the White House. The main reason I don't believe it is because it's a bullshit story. And then I stopped believing crap like this when I was 12. No way this happened the way they say it did. Not a chance. Now, is this going to happen again? Well, it almost did. And I think it will happen again. What happened in Palestine, Ohio? Same thing. A train derailment. If you want to screw with a country, that's what you do. You go after that. You go after that infrastructure. That's the best way to do it. You want to take down a country? Screw with their supply chain. Just like I said. If you wound a guy, it's going to require assets to take care of that problem. That's what you want to do. You want it to be very expensive, whatever it is, either in manpower or in supplies. So I don't know. I look for more of this. I do. We're letting people come across the border willy-nilly with no vetting whatsoever. We're gonna see a lot more of this. I mean, right now, Boeing aircraft, the company itself has taken so many hits here lately. It's not even funny. Now, would I fly we're switching gears here. Would I fly a 737 MAX? Probably not. Matter of fact, the plane I flew down on this morning to Florida was a Airbus 370, I think it was. So what does that mean? Is that a good, bad? I don't know. I felt comfortable in an Airbus. Do they have better quality than Boeing? Well, from what I'm hearing, I'd have to say that's a big 10-4. So would it be out of the realm of possibility that whoever caused the cyber attack, which I firmly believe it was, would attack maybe a Boeing, the Boeing jet, make one or two crash in a small period of time? I mean, they're already looking at Boeing as being the culprit here. Is that possible? I think it would be a brilliant idea, because you take the focus off who. It would take years to figure out who did it. I don't know. Could be. Let's see. What else do we want to talk about? We haven't talked about. The election. Apparently, Trump is leading in 6 of the 7 swing states. Pretty sizable amount. Now, people ask me all the time, what do you think is going to happen in November? What do you think is going to happen in November? It's 211 days before the election. 211 days. What was it? I think it was the night or the day of the funeral for that police officer in New York City that Trump attended the funeral. And Miss Hochul, the governor of New York, was turned away by the New York City Police Department. Told her to take a hike. Interesting. I don't know if you saw that or not, but Kathy was told, you're not welcome here. Go away. Yeah, because you're the one, your policies are the ones that let these people in. that killed our brother. So I thought that was interesting. Now, Trump attends the wedding or the funeral. Mr. Biden, he decides best thing for him to do in this situation is to go to a fundraiser. He needed to go to a fundraiser to raise money. Bill Clinton was there, Barack Obama, all kinds of celebrities. I think it was a $250,000 a plate event. They raised, I don't know, it was $30 million, something like that. Supposedly the greatest fundraising event of all time. All right. Was that a good idea? I don't think it was. I don't know who's in charge of Joe Biden's, I guess, campaign. Who's in charge of his optics of these events? But I can tell you for a fact, I could do a better job. That was some of the worst choices you can imagine. But here's the thing: 30% of the population is going to vote for this guy regardless. Doesn't matter. At least 30%. 30% of the people, that means 3 out of 10 people you know are morons, okay? 3 out of 10. Either morons are completely uninformed. Yeah. And I use the word moron pretty loosely. I guess it'd be a better term would be, I guess ignorant by choice. I think that's probably it. Blinded by partisan, I don't know. It's something like that. Maybe their family always votes Democrat, whatever. The point is, 3 out of 10, regardless of what this man does, regardless of what the Democratic Party does, regardless of the outcomes of what he's caused, anything we can prove, they don't care. They absolutely do not care. They're going to vote for this guy regardless. Okay, so 3 out of 10 are going to do that. So you've got 70%? 50% are probably going to vote for Donald Trump. There's a large contingent, a large group of the electorate that are steadfastly behind Donald Trump, and he couldn't do anything wrong. So it comes down to just a sliver of people in the middle. It's going to be a tight race. I don't care what anybody says. Now, what do I think is going to happen in November? Oh, no, what I wanted to get back to was Donald Trump had a campaign event, a fundraiser. He raised $50 million before he even started the event. What's that tell you? That tells you people are sick of this. They really are. Americans are sick of what's going on in the United States right now. Now, a large portion of these people are sick to death of it. We've had it. People are tired of high prices, the border wide open, you know, giving money to a war that's taking place thousands of miles away that absolutely has no bearing on us whatsoever. People are sick of it. They're sick of an old man who should really be in a home being in charge. It's embarrassing. So what's going to happen, folks? What's going to happen? What do I think is going to happen? People have asked me. I think, at the bottom of my heart, I believe that Gavin Newsom is going to come in and play a role in this. I just do. He is the New World Order's the pet. I mean, he is the absolute epitome of a New World Order person, Illuminati, whatever you want to call it, the shadow government. He is absolutely their poster child. This guy is the dude. Now, having said that, what's going to happen? I don't know, but I think it's going to take place during the convention. I think he will be hoisted as the man of the hour. It's not going to be Michelle Obama. It's not going to be Oprah. It's not going to be anybody like that. It's either Gavin Newsom or Joe Biden. Joe Biden's not going to live through the next election cycle, the next term. He's not going to be around. He's just not. And Kamala Harris will be your president. Do you want that? I don't even think the Democrats want that. So what are we going to do? We're going to make a change. That's what we're going to do. We're going to change things. We're going to put a new guy up to bat. Somebody that's got some charisma. Somebody who's not a moron. Somebody who can put two sentences together without stumbling over it. Someone who doesn't fall down the steps. Someone who doesn't screw his lines up. Someone like that. That's who we want. But is it going to matter? Is it ultimately going to matter at the end of the day? And folks, I got to tell you, and I hate to have to say this. I really do. It depresses me to say this. But I believe fully and 100% that the Democrats are going to once again steal this election. I think they've done it before. They know how to do it. And it will be done again. And you and I, on November, well, it won't be number, it'll be probably sometime in December when we'll actually find out what happened. Because Nicaragua can have an election. We know that afternoon who won. But in the United States of America, with all the technology we've got, it will be weeks before we know who actually won. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. We're worse than a banana republic is what we are. But I do believe it's like this, folks. It's like this. If you allow someone, and you see it happening all the time, if you allow someone to come into a store and walk out with an armful of products or maybe a big screen TV and nothing happens to him, what do you think is going to happen the next time he comes in? Well, you're going to say, shit, I did it once and it worked. I guess it'll work again. Absolutely. No one did anything about it. Not a soul. We talked about it. People from the right were pissed off about it. Oh, and God forbid January 6th came up. Oh, my God. If I hear that one more time, I'm going to puke. Joe Biden told me that if you're going to take on the federal government, he said this in a speech, I think, 2 years ago. He said, if you're going to take on the federal government, you're going to need F-15s and tanks. So if Joe said that, what he's telling you is that a bunch of people with Confederate flags that were allowed into the White House or into the Congress, they're the ones that were going to take over the government. They didn't have F-15s and tanks. So what were we worried about? Why is everybody worried about this? I'll tell you why. Because they want you to know. They want you to know. You try any shit. You say anything that's contrary to the official story, and we're going to lock you up. That's what we're going to do. It's a warning. It's a shot over the bow. Just letting you know. You're not going to be talking about this at any level. You're just not going to. No one's going to allow it. And if you do, you're going to pay the price. I firmly believe that. It's a warning. It's a warning. So, what's the bottom line here? I firmly believe they're going to steal this election once again. I don't know what we do about it. Republicans don't care. There is no difference between a Republican and a Democrat. Don't let anybody kid you. There's no difference. They're all bought and sold by the same people. There's a handful of guys in Congress that give a damn. The rest of them are worried about their own portfolio and if they're going to get reelected. What's the one thing that every scumbag politician is worried about? What's the one thing? One thing with no doubt about it, and it doesn't matter which party you're in, what is the one thing that they are always working on? That is getting reelected. If that means calling up and begging for money, if that means saying something so ludicrous on one of the talk shows, on the Sunday talk shows, something you know fully well is not true, but you were told to say it. If it means that, if it means making an ass out of myself, if it means putting my family in some kind of jeopardy, if it means, you know, eating crow, or saying something so stupid that you that a normal person would cringe, they're going to do it. They're scumbag lawyers. There's nothing. There's no such thing as a good lawyer. I'm sorry. I don't care what anybody says. Old Billy was right. You've heard the song by the Eagles, the line. Old Billy was right. Kill all the lawyers. Kill them tonight. That's true. The world would be a better place for you and me and your kids and your grandkids and people who are coming down the line if we had no lawyers. And I know you got to have them every once in a while. They're kind of like chemotherapy. It doesn't mean I like it. Doesn't mean that I applaud it. Yes, every once in a while you need one, but for the most part, they're all scumbags. So, anyway, that's all I got today. I will be talking to you again soon, and we'll talk about more stuff. I didn't mean to ruin your day either. That's just my opinion about what's going to happen in November. So, take it with a grain of salt. I'm no expert, but that's the way I look at it. I just don't see it going any other way. They cannot allow Donald Trump to be back in the White House. They just can't. Now, does that mean they're going to kill him? I don't know. We still have 211 days before the election. So, you know, you do the math. All right. Well, we'll talk to you later. And remember, it's Eclipse Day, April 8, 2024, and Joe Biden is the worst president in American history. Let's go, Brandon.
As always, thanks for listening to the Average Joe podcast. Be sure to check out our website at www.averagejoenation.media and follow us on social media. Remember, if you haven't told all your friends, you're wrong.